Amen. So good to have you today in the service. Good to have you watching us online. I was talking to the Norwoods, and they haven't been able to be here for a while, but they said they had been watching us online, and I've always have been afraid that you wouldn't feel what we get to feel. You could receive some things, but they said, oh no, we felt it. We felt it coming through that TV screen. The Spirit of God somehow, I don't know how He does this, somehow the Spirit of God is able to go through an ungodly thing like Facebook and YouTube and minister to people. Isn't our God great? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I have some special guests with me today. They just showed up in our Sunday school. These are my first cousins over here, Mike and Chuck. It's always good to have family with you, isn't it? And as we pray today, I just found out earlier that Lonnie Dykus, which is Cheryl's uncle, and he had a brother to pass away yesterday, his older brother, Harold, and so the Dykuses are a big part of who we are. And so as we pray, I want you to pray for them, ask the Lord to let the peace of God to be on their family. Amen. Let's turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a little bit late, but I'm pretty sure we're still going to beat the Baptist to the restaurant, so don't worry. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 19. And some of you may remember that I read that last week. I just didn't cover it the way I wanted to, so I'm going to back up a little bit and cover that, and then some of chapter 3 too. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, or the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, or the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and as has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given me by the effective working of his power. Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we know, Father, the Spirit of the Lord is here moving. God, we have felt your presence. We have sensed the power of the Lord in this place. And we pray, God, oh Lord, don't stop now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you administer truth to each and every one of us. God, that we would receive what the Spirit of God has for us today. God, I know that your table is full. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that every one of us eats until we're full today of the bountiful blessings of God. God, our hearts are hurting today for the Dykus family. God, we're mindful of the pain, Lord, that they're going through right now. Lord, no one is able to handle pain like you. I pray, Lord, right now, Father, that you would walk with every one of them, all the families involved in this. May the peace of God be applied to their hearts and lives. May they feel your presence, and may they celebrate, Lord, their brother's death, Harold's death, as he's gone into heaven. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that it would be a celebration of his life. God, may it be an encouragement and not a discouragement, God. Lord, do mighty things in that family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this today, Church is the Mysterious Plan of God. Church is the Mysterious Plan of God. not just another club. If you think that you have come to the Rotary Club today, I am so sorry. You are going to be very disappointed and probably a little confused, maybe a whole lot confused. I'm sorry that our world has made church to be a community organization. We're not a community organization. We're not an organization at all. We're an organism. You know the difference? One is alive. An organism is alive. We're an organism because we are alive. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon, I thought, the Church of Christ has always got this right. You know, when you drive by a Church of Christ, you will see a sign that says something similar to this. Glendale Road, Church of Christ meets here. I worked inside the Church of Christ for a little while, that specific church, and I called this the sanctuary. And one of the pastors there, don't call them pastors, but one of the guys there, they said, oh, please don't call that the sanctuary. He says, call it the big room. Call it the anything you want to call it, but don't call it a sanctuary. They're right. We're wrong. We worship a building. The building is not to be worshiped. You are the church. You worship here, but you are the church. This church, we could sell this building tomorrow and it could become a car lot and it would be just as anointed as it is right now. This building is not anointed. You are anointed. Right? So this is the mystery. Paul wrote about 7 or 8 different mysteries in the scripture. And to us, a mystery is something that takes a lot of difficulty to understand. Mysteries in the Bible is not difficult to understand. It's things that has not been revealed. And until God, sort of like Revelation, right? Until God reveals it, we'll not understand it. And so, and that's happening today, right? God is revealing the book of Daniel. He's revealing Revelation. He's opening up us to understand the end times like never before. Well, here they're at a different dispensation. These guys stood like right here at this chasm. And there's another floor over here. And they're this will make a bit of sense to you. But they're crossing over this chasm. They're crossing over from the dispensation of the law to the dispensation of grace, where the Bible says, I've broken down the middle wall of hostility between the Jew and the Gentile. That was news to these folks. They didn't understand that. To us, I told Treva this morning, we don't think much about that. Doesn't make much sense to us. But we do still have chasms in the church, right? The church is sometimes the most racial thing going. You know, they say the most divided America gets is on Sunday morning. Black people go to the black church, white people go to the white church, Mexicans go to the Mexican church. Shame on us. God broke that wall. Gentiles would no longer be treated as a subpar, as somebody not allowed in. All of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm going to do something marvelous in the end times. I'm going to make them one. And so the church got it wrong. So back in the 80s, we taught this. It says, well, the church now replaced the Jews. It's called replacement theology, and it's heresy. It's wrong. It's not, no truth in it. We did not replace God's chosen people. He wove us together to be one. We are now one. Here's what happened. I almost asked Eric to bring a vine in. He grafted us in, John 15. He grafted us into the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. He grafted us in, and now we're growing as one plant. We ought to love Israel. We ought to love the Jewish people. And when something happens against the nation of Israel, we ought to take it personal. And we ought to be praying for Israel. Right? That they would have full understanding of who Jesus is. Messianic believers. But today, what we need to understand is that every person is important in the house of God. That's not, how do I say that? It's not necessarily taught wrong. It's observed wrong. It's because of our culture, because of the way we do things. There's like a teaching that comes underneath that promotes itself, that it's all about the people on the pulpit. It's all about the pastor. It's all about the worship team. And all we are spectators. And that's wrong. If we had an organizational chart for the church, do you know what an organizational chart? I'm a business guy. Grew up and had a business major. If we would run a business, we would have at the top the CEO. And the next line would be the executives, like the CFO and different people that would answer to the CEO. Then after that, we would have middle management, right? So it would be a hierarchy that's coming down. And then the last line would be the workers. Do you understand that? It's a flow chart of how things happen in a business. But when you look at the church, you have one line. Church. That's the organizational flow. Maybe we could say two lines. Jesus, church, right? We are the body of Christ. You don't come to church. You are the church. You come to a meeting to get filled up, to receive what God has for you, so that you go out and become the church. Appreciate your excitement on that. So therefore, your attendance is really important. Why is your attendance important? See, as long as you think that I'm the only minister in the place and that I have to minister to every one of you, you don't think you're important. You don't think that it's needful that you be in the house. But when you understand, I may bring a message to somebody today. I may be the Jesus in the room today. I may be the one that loves that person to salvation. When you begin to see yourself as a minister of God, as important to the body of Christ, then you'll understand, I don't want to miss a meeting. As I was watching the deacons and the elders pray for people, I saw the Nolans come up. And I don't know what's going on, but I could tell it was important. I thought, something's happening there. And it touched my heart, the way they stood there and embraced each other and hugged each other. And you could see, this is a family that loves each other. Follow me. That's a picture of the church. Why is the death of Harold Dykus important? Because one of our people is his brother. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. Why when someone gets a new car, we're not jealous, we celebrate. Someone gets a new job, a promotion, someone has a baby. It's important to us, right? Why? Because it's us. That's part of who we are. We are one family. So when one hurts, we all hurt. When one celebrates, we all celebrate. The Bible says that we're fitted together. We're fitted together. In other words, you don't choose a church. because the preacher is a loudmouth. You don't choose the church. You don't choose the church because you like the praise and worship. And you don't leave the church because the pastor says something that you don't like. I was thinking as I prepared this, I said, some people change churches like we change underwear. January, February, March. What are you laughing about? What are you, how do you change underwear? You look at my underwear, I got a, in the strap, it says January. I had a good mama. She told me how this works. He says that we are built, we are God's house built on the foundation. Now we're going to talk more about this in the next chapter or two. Built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, which most people think has gone away with. I wish they'd quit adding to the Word of God. If it's still in the Word of God, it's still effective. But he says that Jesus is our cornerstone. In other words, they didn't build houses like we build them today with blocks and have walls. They used stones. And they would set one stone, and that would be the cornerstone. And everything would align to that stone. And Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one that our lives must align up with. Are you plumb with the cornerstone? That's a good question today. Are you plumb? Say, what in the world are you talking about? I took a carpentry class and he said, make sure it's plumb. And I'm thinking, what's plumb? Is it straight? Is it, I don't know. I'm not a carpenter. What's plumb mean? Straight line. Is it right with the cornerstone? In 1 Peter 2:5, he says, and you are living stones. I love this. I said it last week, we're chips off the old block. Hopefully the apple doesn't far from the tree in your life. Do you look like your daddy? Do you look like the cornerstone? We are being made into the image of Christ. We're not being made Pentecostal. We're not being made emotional. We're not being made shouters or screamers or whatever you want to say. We're being made into the image of the Son of God. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And if you continue on, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you continue on, he says that Christ has come to redeem the world and now he has given us the ministry of bringing people into the family. Sheep have sheep. Shepherds don't have sheep. That's a perversion. Are you following me? We're not teaching bestiality in this church. You better get this. Because the church for a long time has been looking to the under shepherd saying, you need to bear some sheep. No, I don't bear sheep. I'm a shepherd. You bear sheep. I equip you for the work of the ministry so that you'll go out and be a good daddy. We're fitted together. You count in the house of God. You're important in the family of God. Sometimes we look at this section over here and we say, well, in the next few years, they may be important. No, you're important today. Today, this very day, don't wait for a certain age to say, I'm a minister. No, let me just deem you. Today, you are a minister of God. You get it?
Yep.
So go into your world as a minister. You too. Well, yeah, that works for 14-year-olds, but how about 80-year-olds? I'm still a minister. Folks, if I get you to change one iota about how you view the church, I'm going to be successful today. So I'm going to beat this horse. Because I know how thick-headed you are sometimes. I want you to get it. This is really important. Sometimes the church attendance gets stagnant. You know why? You know why we say, right? Well, the pastor hadn't been on his game. No, no. You haven't been on your game. When you quit winning souls, when you quit going to work to be the world changer. So if you work at Dana, wherever you work, you got to realize it's more than just a position to feed your family. God has placed you, listen to me, God has placed you as a missionary in Dana. So quit griping about your work. Wherever you're at, if you're at the hospital, you're a missionary to the, you work at BPU, God knows they need the light, right? They need you. They need believers to come in and to be the, do you realize that your feet are shod with the preparation of peace? So that when you walk in the room, peace just walked in the room. When you walk in the room, the Spirit of God just walked in the room. Therefore, I don't listen to gossip. And I'm definitely not going to participate in it. I'm not going to participate in the division at work when I'm the one that's probably supposed to bring the peace. Why? Because it's not about bringing people to a building. I am the church. It's about me getting alone with the Holy Ghost, getting a word from the Lord. So when I go to church, when I go to my work, I have prophesied over so many people at work. Say, well, Pastor, there's a division, isn't there, between church and work? Don't believe the lies of the government. As long as we draw breath, ministry continues because the Spirit of God is flowing through us. You don't have to call me. Pastor, you need to pray. There's a sick person where I work. You pray. You hold the same anointing that I do. Get in the Word. Learn the Word. Know what we stand for. Know what we believe. Know what the Word of God says. And then be the church. We are jointly fit together. Nobody in this room is unimportant. But you think you are. That's why you hit and miss with your attendance. You ever heard of the solid scripture in Hebrews? Yeah? No? Hebrews chapter 10. He says, let us. Let us draw near with full assurance. Let us encourage one another. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do you notice he did not say, let us not go to church? He said, let us not forsake the assembling. They had the revelation. They knew. They knew they were the church. But they know that their strength in the body of Christ coming together. See, when you come together as the church, you remember the verse that says, when two or three of us are gathered together in your name, there I am in the midst of them. Why? Because I brought him with me. Did you? If LaWayne brings the Spirit of God with him, and I bring the Spirit of God with me, and Treva's got the Spirit of God, where's the Spirit of God at? Right here in the middle of us. When we get together, don't think it's strange when the Spirit of God starts moving. Because He's in us. If you are born again, the Spirit of God is inside of you. And He does not just come into you to get you to heaven. I heard this preached this weekend. He said, if that was the case, we would have an altar call. And you'd come up and accept Jesus, and then the Lord would just strike you dead. That's the safest way to get people to heaven, isn't it? I can remember as a teenager, I used to pray to die all the time. Because I knew if I got out of that church service, I thought, I'm going to sin. I know I'm going to sin. And I was taught, if you sin, you're going to hell. There was no grace in my upbringing. I'm so thankful that when Paul was preaching, he says, I have been equipped. I've been gifted to take to the Gentiles the message of grace. Oh, hallelujah. There is no greater message than the message of grace. See, as long as you think it's about what you do, you're not going to have freedom in Christ. You're going to live under a yoke of bondage. But when you realize it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, it's one of the mysteries of Paul. Christ in you, not just Christ in the pastor, Christ in you, Christ in the church. That's the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. Let's get to one or two of these points. He says that we're living stones. It's built into a spiritual temple. It's 1 Peter. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You are God's person. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness and into His wonderful life. He's light. In verse 10, He says, once you had no identity. Who's He talking about? He's talking about Gentiles. He's talking about us. He said, once you had no identity, but now you are God's people. Man, if you got that, you would shout, I'm God's man. You remember when you got married? Men, I don't know how women think, but I remember thinking, I'm now a husband. And there was something flattering about that. It was like, yeah, baby. I'm the man. There is nothing more important than saying, I am the man. I am His man. I'm His man. Remember the story of Esther? Her uncle Mordecai says, for such a time as this, you've been brought into the kingdom. Let me tell you this. You have not been born out of time. You have been born in exactly the time that God wanted you to be born. And you've been brought into the kingdom at the right time. Today is the right day for you. And when you understand, I am important to what God is doing in this place, it changes everything about you. When you're sick, you'll think, well, I think God wants to heal me. You won't think, I better plan my funeral. No, you'll think, I'm important to the kingdom. I'm God's man. God needs me at Dana. God needs me at BPU. God needs me in the education system. God needs me. God's going to use me so He'll heal my body. He says, you had no identity. But now we're the people of God. There's no foreigners. Have you ever went to a different country? If you ever go to a different country, it's scary. I've been to Mexico, I've been to Chile, and I've been to Africa. And I didn't speak any other language. I couldn't read the road signs. You had to ask where the restroom is. I mean, you're just hoping to find someone that speaks a little bit of English. When we went to Africa, people used to, the little kids would come to me and they would rub my face. Like, does that rub off? They never saw a white person before. And I'm brown. They saw Denny and they thought they saw a ghost. Some of the kids, Some of the kids screamed. I'm not making this up. They screamed. Don't worry. He's Casper. He's the friendly ghost. Sorry, Diddy. It's difference in culture. It's different. And you're a foreigner. You're walking into something strange. We're not foreigners anymore. This is my house. You get it? Please don't ever come to me and say, your church. Ain't my church. Not your Sunday school class. Tis. But he put me here. My kids want us to move to Cincinnati so bad. Why don't you retire and move to Cincinnati? It's not my choice. Not my decision. Did you hear what Paul said? He says, I'm a prisoner. I don't make decisions. I listen for the answer to the decision. When the Lord says, I want you to move to wherever, then we'll put our house up for sale and we'll move. But until then, we'll stay put. I wish everybody got that. Amen. It ain't about me. I ain't worried about that. You get me? See, the board could come to me today and say, we think that you've overstayed your welcome. They could make that decision. I can't. And I'd say, okay, not a problem. Because God's got another door. God's got another place. Are you following me? I want you to understand, same for you. See, maybe you don't like this sermon. You say, well, I'm going to find me a church that preaches a better sermon than that. I'm going to find me a preacher that doesn't scream as much. I know Steve loves me screaming. No, you won't. Not if you're listening to the Lord. Not when you understand that it's got to be a win-win. God places you into the body of Christ where you are fit together because we need you. And I'm not recruiting for the nursery today. This is usually what preachers preach. I'm recruiting for the kingdom. I want this church to win this city for God. And as long as you look at me and say, go, pastor, go, it ain't going to happen. But when you realize that's my calling, I am the ambassador. I come to this building to get filled up, to get inspired, to feel and receive what God has for me so that I can go out and be the church. Bible says that we form a holy temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Oh, buddy, this is just preach all day long because we have no revelation. My husband, he just makes me mad. I'm leaving him. That's not your decision. You better get with Jesus. I'm going to leave this job. I don't like it anymore. You better get with Jesus. Does he want you to leave this job? Why? Because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I think I'm going to drink this drink. This is usually where most of the church gets excited. Yeah, preach against drugs and alcohol. Hey. What's so wrong with it? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, how about a double cheeseburger and milkshake? Ooh, I've gone to preaching the meddling now. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. What's so wrong with suicide? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're ending what God is beginning. Do you get that? I wish that we could understand there's as much mental illness as there is physical illness in the body of Christ. And for some reason we can have faith to believe that God can heal the physical, but he won't touch the mental. That's wrong. God wants to touch us emotionally. He'll heal your mind as well as he'll heal your body. Why? Because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God cares about how you feel it. And we love talking about drugs and alcohol because 90% of us never had that problem. But you start talking about double cheeseburgers and you just got personal. You notice I have not said one word about chocolate, right? Chocolate. Chocolate is God's gift to us. He says, I'm a prisoner. Listen to this. He counted this as such a privilege. I'm a privilege. I'm a prisoner to be able to bring the gospel of grace to these Gentiles. Do you know that the Jews hated the Gentiles? You know they wouldn't even let them in their house. They had nothing. They wouldn't talk to them. But why would this man, Paul, very much Jewish, studied under the greatest teachers, why could he consider it an honor to now preach the gospel to the Gentiles? Because he recognized that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He surrendered his will to him. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Mm-mm-mm. Come on now. Lord, if you said I don't need that second portion, I'm going to put my fork down. I sinned yesterday. We went to Golden Corral. And I knew I should have stopped with that first plate. I did have a bit of a victory. I didn't go to the dessert bar. Hallelujah. That was a big deal for me, actually. When you understand what an honor it is, the greatest joy in my life is being able to preach to you. I love to preach. I love to preach to you so that you'll hear the love of God. You know why some people can't receive from the body of Christ today? They don't think that this is anything important. You know why? Because they know we're not unified. And they're not going to receive much out of us until they see the unity. He's broken down the middle wall. The wall of hostility. And when the church begins to not see hatred and division, when the world begins to see that, when they see that this church is beginning to love each other. And I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. We're not the only part of the church. You know, I'm real excited about this class that Dale and Joyce are getting ready to start. And he said in a staff meeting, he said, I think the Lord has spoken to our hearts about starting this class. And he said, will you pray about that with me? And I said, no, I won't pray about it with you. If God told you to do it, do it. It's a good thing. God told you to do it. But here's what really excites me. That little boy over there was an Amish boy. Raised Mennonite. And they're going to bring their heritage with what God has done with them right now. See, we do not ask you to divorce who you were raised to be. We ask that you would build on it. See, the one thing that I love about the Mennonites is community. I love how they love each other. I love how they protect each other and care for each other. And if Joyce and Dale take that, that mindset into a Sunday school class where God is able to minister, where the Holy Spirit, are you getting this? Where the Holy Spirit is Lord. And you combine those two things where I've got the Spirit of God moving and I've got the love of God moving in my heart to care for you. He says, we'll do life together. That's just a new phrase. The truth of it is, they're going to be the church together. They're going to be Paul and Timothy's together. Maybe that doesn't make any sense. See, the reason we're struggling so much in church is because we have a lot of Timothys with no fathers. I'm going to step on your toes again. Because there's a lot of men in the body of Christ that has not taken on the mantle of being a father. My nephew was there at this men's meeting, and I was so glad to be able to introduce him to Dan. Here's how I introduced him. I said, this is my spiritual son. Buddy, that means something to me. But I'm not the only father in this place that's called to mentor some young men. Treva's not the only mama in the house. Are you getting this? This is how we fit together. Does that make sense to you? I told you I'm going to beat this horse. I'm beating it. Because I want you to know how important you are. Find somebody. Mentor them in with what you know. Teach them how to fertilize a cow, buddy. I think that's fascinating personally. Well, I better. After last week, my wife said, I can't believe you said that in church. Now some of you are going, I got to catch last week's sermon. I don't know. One of the things, the last thing I'll just talk to you about is the humility of Paul. We don't get it until verse 8. He says, to me, who I'm less than the least of all the saints. You're never going to do much for Christ until you experience humility. We have to walk in humility. If you're walking in humility, you won't walk in judgment. That's why I can celebrate with the addict when they're delivered. I can celebrate with a person who's been trapped in the world of pornography. Why? Because there go I, except by the grace of God. There's no judgment in the house of God. There's a lot of grace. You hear me? There's a lot of grace in the kingdom of God. And we understand this grace from here to here. We don't understand this grace. See, you need to have grace for me, but I need to have grace for you. Thank God. And grace is more than the favor of God. It's the force of God. It's what's going to enable you to leave this place understanding I am the church. And I'm going to go out into this world where dark is getting darker. And I'm going to take the light because God has graced me. I'm going to give you a feeder line for next week. God has graced me with gifts. God has put something in me that's special so that He will use for the kingdom. You've heard it said, we're dual citizens, right? We're citizens of heaven, but we're citizens on earth. I am not worried about that one. I want you to be highly effective with this one. And when you realize I'm the minister, you, Jim, you're the minister. When you're cutting hair, it's more than cutting hair. Girl, do you realize you're laying hands on them? You got a unique responsibility. Got Dylan over here working in the hospital. He's not laying hands on them. He's probably laying hands in them. He may have their hands up to their guts that much. What's he doing? My son, one time when he was first learning, he was working in the emergency room. He was doing a thing and a boy was dying. He was on his chest giving the compressions, you know, for this kid. And the whole time he was there, he said, "You will not die, but you will live and receive the glory of God. You will not die." That's the guy I want giving chest compressions when I'm, right? How could he do that? He understood, I am a minister. I am a minister. You are a minister. So therefore, when you come into the house, into the big room, we all celebrate what God is doing. We all get filled up so that when we go out as the church. Amen? Stand with me if you would. I want to pray for you today in a different way. I basically have preached one point to you today because it was so important to me that you get this. But now I'm going to pray that you didn't just get it here, but now God transfers it from here to here. You know, that 12, 18 inches is a big, drop. It's one thing to know here. It's another thing to know here who you are. You know, the identity of the believer is very, very important, knowing who you are. And today we have identified just one thing. You are a minister. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you are now an ambassador of Christ. You are called into the ministry. Wherever you're at, go minister the grace of God. I can tell you one thing. At Dana, they don't need to hear judgment. They don't need to hear you come in and say, "Well, you're a heathen." They need to hear the love of God in a message of grace that God wants you. And if you're here today and have never asked Jesus into your heart, that's the message that I hope you hear today, to ask Jesus into your heart, because he's waiting. He's waiting for you to come in and get busy. Father God, I pray for these people right now, Lord. I thank you for every person that you brought into this house, because I believe, Lord, that every one of us need to hear this message, that we are the temple of God, that we are housing the most precious thing in the world, the third part of the Godhead. God really is in us. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that the mantle of ministry would rest upon every hearer here today. And as we leave this building, this room, let the church go out into this world and bring disciples to you. Bring the love of Christ into their offices. God, I think about some of the people that's in this room. Lord, we have a principal, Lord, that's loving little kids. But we also have the chief of police that's going to see people at the lowest time of their life. And he has opportunity to bring the love of Christ in. And I pray for a special anointing upon our brother Rick. God, that he would walk in that love of God. Not that he wouldn't do his job, but he would do his job and your job at the same time. God, I pray for the nurses, and I pray for every person wherever we go in this world tomorrow. I pray that we would let the light of Jesus Christ shine through us. God, help us not to put anything in our temple that would defile it, but help us to offer this body as a living sacrifice to you. Now use us as we go. Empower us by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny. Or Casper, either one.
See, I got the microphone now. See. My, how the turntables, right? Yeah. No, but that is 100% true story, and it was probably the highlight of the trip for me, getting to see that anyway. But no, as he was talking this morning about how individuals matter, my mind kept going back to the book of Numbers. And God showed me just a few months ago how important the book of Numbers is, because it's a reminder that individuals matter in the eyes of God. And I was thinking just this morning, he showed me that I could probably guarantee most of the people that are listed in the book of Numbers probably never felt like they were special. They probably were born, grew up, got married, had kids, grew old and died, and never even thought that their life was anything special. But yet God cared about them enough to write their name in the book that lasts forever. So I thank God that each one of our names are written in the book, right? The Lamb's Book of Life that will never be blotted out, according to him. Praise the Lord. All right, raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. Don't forget, if you have kids going to kids camp or youth camp, hang back or go sign your kids out and then come back. And they have a meeting for that. So may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord.